2 Corinthians chapter 8 tonight. If you got your Bible, quickly, I just want to look at a couple things with you tonight. 2 Corinthians chapter number 8. 2 Corinthians chapter 8 tonight. All right. You know, I know there's a lot of churches that don't have church on Wednesday before Thanksgiving because it's not convenient. I'm sure glad that you all chose to come to church tonight. And again, we just want to share a little bit from the Word of God. I am a little bit conscious, again, but we don't want to take away from the Lord has for us tonight. So I want to, share something, and we'll get you out in a good amount of time here. 2 Corinthians chapter 8. Church family, we know what 2 Corinthians chapter number 8 is. As soon as I say turn there, probably half of you or more thought to yourself, that's where we always go when it comes to faith promise, because 2 Corinthians chapter 8, the church of Macedonia. I want to start there tonight, but it's interesting how it ends, and that's where I want to get to tonight. And I'll just take a few moments of, again, sharing the introduction of 8 and 9, and then I want to show you where it ends tonight and to tie that into Thanksgiving for us. Heavenly Father, Lord, I ask you now to please again bless your word. Give us again clarity of thought, words to say, the Spirit. Lord, would you again have freedom tonight to speak to our hearts. Thank you for Thanksgiving. Thank you that we can have just a time that we can stop and just think about, Lord, all that you've done for us, and Lord, the people you've given to us in our life that have again been a blessing. Lord, may we be thankful tonight and even throughout the year. Now, Father, help us again. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Church, can I just read just a couple of verses with you just again? I know that you're familiar with 2 Corinthians 8 and 9. 2 Corinthians chapter 8 and 9 is what we call faith promise chapters. This idea of faith promise is not something that Baptists have brought up and think we got to figure out how to bring up missionaries to the field. 2 Corinthians 8 and 9 spells out the kind of giving that we do. Now, we just got done with our missions conference, and so again, all of those thoughts are already in our mind. We understand from verses number 1 through 5 of 2 Corinthians 8, this was the example of faith promise, and it was the churches of Macedonia that gave, that Paul is using as an example to the church at Corinth. We also know that when you look at verse number 6 down through verse number 15, this is what we call grace giving, because the word grace is used again and again. And that's the kind of giving. It's gracious giving. It's the way we give to faith promise because we want to. We're commanded to give our tithes, and the faith promise is, as the Old Testament, the free will or the peace offering. It was a free will voluntary offering. All right. Now, are you with me so far? Say amen. Amen. Believe me, the thought won't be long tonight, but I want you to understand where God's going in the passage here. When we get down to verse number 16, down to verse number 24, Apostle Paul spells out the protection of the faith promise that was given. So churches of Corinth, you should follow the example of the churches of Macedonia and give gracefully. And then that money that's given that is going to go to the foreign field or to these other churches, to the ministering of the saints, there's a protection there. The protection is the church that gives it. The protection is the pastor who oversees it. And the protection is the person or is the missionary who spends it. And it's all very clear here in this passage. We look at chapter 9. Again, these two chapters go together in verse number 1 down to verse number 7. It's how we should give to faith promise. That's where the most familiar verse we say in verse number 6 and 7. But this I say, he which soweth sparingly shall reap also what? Sparingly. And he which soweth bountifully shall reap what? Also bountifully. Every man according as he purposeth in his heart, so let him give, not grudgingly or of necessity, for God loveth what? All right, so we understand from verse number 1 down to verse number 7, this is how we're supposed to give our faith promise. This is not tithe. I don't have to be happy when I give my tithe. It's not my money. But I can be happy when I get to give above my tithe, all right? Are we all together so far? Say amen. All right, we're getting close. We're almost at the end of the chapter. The last part of this chapter, chapter 9, talking about faith promise, verse number 8 through 15, tells us the result of us giving our faith promise. I preached messages on these things before. They're very clear here. One of the results is God's grace abounds towards you. You cause other people to be thankful. And then last of all, it causes people to pray for you. But church family, verse number 15 is really like the closing statement to why we give our faith promise, or, you know, why do we give this gift to God in order to be able to support missionaries around the world? Now, I want you to read out loud this short verse together with me. Let's read verse number 15, chapter 9, verse 15 together. You ready? Thanks be unto God for his unspeakable gift. Let's say it one more time. Ready? Thanks be unto God for his unspeakable gift. All right, now church family, not a hard question. It's not a trick question, all right? What is the unspeakable gift? Jesus Christ. Think about it. He just gets done going through this entire chapter saying, listen, you should give grace giving your gift for the ministering of the saints in a foreign field or a different church. And that's something that we do freely as far as giving. He ends all of this saying, thanks be to God for his unspeakable gift. Church, I mean, here's, can I summarize tonight these two chapters as he ends in verse number 15? Our small gift to God should be willingly given because of the unspeakable gift he gave to us. That gift was Jesus Christ, as she sang a few moments ago, that we are thankful because Jesus Christ paid our sin debt and died on the cross. And if you're saved, of all times you should be thankful is now that you're saved because what Jesus did for you. He took your place. He took your sin upon himself. He called you. He chose you. We should be thankful. So he ends the chapter saying, okay, you don't have to give to the missionary and you don't have to give to the ministering of the saints. But let me just remind you what I gave you. I gave you the unspeakable gift. Now tonight, I want to use those three words and I want to briefly discuss them. I mean briefly tonight. In this verse, he says this. He says, thanks be unto God. And by the way, we should be thankful. Amen? Amen. If anybody, we should be thankful for it to him. But the last three words of this verse says this. His unspeakable gift. Can we ponder that for just a moment? He says, thanks be unto God for his unspeakable gift. Now, just remember this, we could start backwards tonight. I really thought that's the direction we'd go tonight, but I want to just go in order if you don't mind. The word his there is a personal pronoun referring to God. God says that we should be thankful unto him because of what he gave us. And we obviously, he's referring to Jesus Christ. He gave us, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. All right. Now, some of you are already thinking about turkey tomorrow. I need you to concentrate tonight. All right. Think about this for just a moment here. Just, I mean, when you get a gift from somebody, the meaning behind the gift is not always the expense of the gift as much as it is the person who gave the gift. Think about it for just a second here. In other words, somebody who loves you, who gives you something, is not super expensive, you cherish that because of who it was given by. Other people who sometimes give us really expensive gifts don't mean as much to us because of the person who gave it. Now, church family, can I just tell you, God gave you eternal life. Now, I don't know, you ought to think about that tonight. We're talking about the creator of the universe who's sitting on the throne of heaven, who sees, knows, and understands everything, saw you, created you, and then chose you to be saved. Amen. Hey, I want to tell you his unspeakable gift tonight. We can understand that God's the one that gave us eternal salvation, and God's the one who cares about me. I'm often reminded of the Psalm chapter 8, when he says, what is man that thou art mindful of him? Think about that. Mindful of you. God thinks about you. It's no wonder in the book of 1 Peter, he says, casting all your care upon him. Why? Just, I mean, he didn't say casting all your care upon him because he cares for the church or because he cares for the world. He says casting all your care upon him because he cares for you. That's because God knows you and he thinks about you and your trouble and your trials and the things that you're going through. You're not alone with what you're going through. I look at this verse tonight and I think to myself, hey, thanks be unto God. God, I just want to thank you because you thought about me. He didn't have to do that. If we just think for just a moment, I could have been born in a foreign field. I could have been born into a home where the parents were part of a cult. I could have been born as an atheist and where I never attended the church and was never come across a soul winner that told me about Christ. I could be on my way to hell. But God said, hey, listen, I'm going to allow you to make a choice. And that's whether to believe and receive my son, Jesus Christ. Amen. His. God loves you and God cares about you. And he saved you. Look, think about the next verse. Now, church family, the next word. His unspeakable. Now, church family, when we say unspeakable, we say something that can't be said. But that's not what this word means. It's very interesting, and I'm going to define it with one word because that's how it's defined in the Greek. Unspeakable means indescribable. Amen. Now, church family, would you just say the word indescribable for me? Would you say it tonight together? What? Indescribable. When God says, thanks be unto God for his, what he gave me an indescribable, the unspeakable, it's indescribable of the gift that God gave us. Just, I mean, when you just think about your salvation, and sometimes we don't ponder it enough to where we just stop and think about your salvation, it's indescribable. Just, I mean, how do you describe the worth of your salvation? People are living today to be able to put money into an account that's one day is going to burn that they can't ever take with them. Our salvation is indescribable. When you think about its worth, I'm going to walk on a street of gold and he's already prepared for me a mansion. Amen. Our that's that indescribable gift. Think about the longevity of the gift. I'm going to tell you, this Christmas we'll buy gifts for one another, but truth of the matter is, how long are they really going to last? Mine's everlasting. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but shall have what? Everlasting life. He that believeth on the Son hath everlasting life, and he that believeth not the Son shall not see life. So we understand that the gift is, it's indescribable about the gift that God gives us when we think about just the pardon of God's gift. Interesting, man. I know sometimes we think to ourselves, we don't say it, but we almost get to the place where, you know, God chose the right person. Do you understand that all of us were guilty before God? God did not have to send a pardon for us, somebody who had never sinned to take our place. He could have let us pay for our own sin. It's indescribable. Unspeakable. To think about the recipients of this gift is not just Baptists. The recipients of this gift are not just Americans. The recipients of this gift is not a race or a tongue or a certain denomination. The unspeakableness, the indescribableness of the gift that God's given us is that God wants everybody to be saved. It's indescribable. You know, a lot of gifts you can describe. I don't know if your kids have started making their Christmas list yet. You know, sometimes as the kids got older, we'd let the kids kind of tell us, you know, what kind of things they want for Christmas. My wife was talking to Samuel, and Samuel already had his Christmas list, and he's not even in my house any longer. I'm not sure about Christmas gifts. You left, buddy. But as the kids got older, they would find a gift that they would want, and we, as parents, we would, if it was possible, we'd like to get them, depending on the cost and what they were thinking. But sometimes you'd say, okay, this is the gift, and this is what it's for, and this is what it can do. You can describe it. I want to tell you something. There's no way to describe what we got. It's an unspeakable gift. It's indescribable. Trishman, last of all, I want you to think about the word gift tonight. Trishman, we talk enough about gifts. This particular word actually means gratuity or graciousness. I am a little bit older, and so I remember the days that when you went to a restaurant, that if a waiter or waitress did a good job, you got to choose whether or not you gave them a tip. It bothers me in this day that we're living in that I go to a fast food joint, and before I can check out with my card, it's asking me, would you like to give 15%, 20%, or 30% for somebody who did nothing except hand me my order? Okay, I'm sorry, it's just me tonight. You that are maybe have a different opinion, I just felt like that, you know, I grew up in that era that if you did a good job, then you got a tip. It's not that way anymore. It's expected. Church family, this idea of the word gift, it's graciousness, it's that the word we use for gratuity. It's given as free. It's not something that's demanded. It's not something that is expected. Church family, God gave us all that gift. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. The unspeakable gift, the eternal life, through Jesus Christ our Lord. Jesus Christ was the gift. Christ is the gift that we have to either accept or reject. He's the gift that a person chooses to believe or not believe. But it was a gift. You can turn if you may, but I'd like to read just a few verses with you out of Romans chapter number 5. I like this passage because the word gift is used 6 times and the word free gift is used 3 in just these few short verses. In Romans chapter 5, verse number 15, Paul was talking to the church at Rome, and he said this. He says, but not as the offense, so also is the free gift. For if through the offense of one many be dead, that was Adam, much more the grace of God and the gift by grace, which is by one man, next 2 words, Jesus Christ, hath abounded unto many. And not as it was by one that sinned, that was Adam, so is the gift for the judgment was by one to condemnation, but the free gift is of many offenses unto justification. That was Jesus. Verse 17, for if by one man's offense death reigned by one, that was Adam, much more they which receive abundance of grace of the gift of righteousness shall reign in life by one, He ends with telling us who it is, Jesus Christ. Verse 18, therefore, as by the offense of one judgment came upon all men to condemnation, that was Adam, even so by the righteousness of one, that was Jesus Christ, the free gift came upon all men unto justification of life. For as by one man's disobedience many were made sinners, so by the obedience of one shall many be made righteous. Verse 20, moreover, the law entered that the offense might abound. But where sin abounded, grace did much more abound. That as sin hath reigned unto death, even so might grace reign through righteousness unto eternal life. By what? By what? Jesus Christ our Lord. Church, I mean, that's the gift that God gave us. So church, I mean, why does he end the faith promise chapter by saying, but thanks be to God for his unspeakable gift? Because what he was telling the churches of Corinth to do, to give out of the graciousness of their heart toward missions, God says, I just want to tell you out of the graciousness of my heart, I gave you a gift that you could never match. It's unspeakable. It's indescribable. What was the gift? For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through. The gift was Christ. Amen. It's thanksgiving, but thanks be to God. Just may we never forget to be thankful to God. Because I want to tell you something. Whether you have a good turkey dinner tomorrow or whether you get one present under the Christmas tree, you don't have to spend 1 second in hell. Amen. But thanks be to God. But thanks be to God. Tonight's service really is just about that, that you would leave here thinking about, but thanks be to God for his unspeakable gift. You know, we might think we're missing out on a lot in life because of what we don't have, but we have more than almost any other person in the world if they're not saved, because we know where we're going when we die, because we got the unspeakable gift. Tonight, but thanks be to God. I hope tonight that you're thankful, and I hope you're thankful for the unspeakable gift that God gave you when he saved your soul from hell. Let's all stand to our feet. May we take a moment of prayer just to say thank you to the Lord tonight.